Dad, isn't it time for illegal ham interface?
But bro, where's the banjo?
Some Cleveland sports shows try to give you hot takes, but only one can give you a big old piece of hot ham. Welcome to Illegal Ham to the Face. Talking all Cleveland sports. And don't forget our Fat Boy Tuesday, where we also ham it up with some fun food topics. Without further ado, let's serve up some ham. Here are the ham boys. Fatty. And Big Bri.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome in to our premiere on Network 216. We are Legal Ham to the Face. I am Fatty. He is Big Bri. What is going on, big fella?
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing with that big mitt right there on the camera?
What a great start to 2024. I tell you what, I couldn't draw it up any better myself.
You're living high as a king, aren't you, over there?
Never happened in my life, as far as I can remember, having both my teams playing to this level.
Hey, between the Browns, Michigan, and Tennessee, you should be feeling pretty damn good, right?
Oh, yeah. Tennessee, too, put a thumping on Iowa, right?
Well, Iowa has no offense. Let's be honest.
Oh, no. Yeah, they could have scored 6 points. And, you know, I think what Tennessee hit the under by themselves because Iowa put up zero. So I think the over-under was like 35, and, yeah, they got under themselves. Good for them.
That's unreal. All right, so welcome into Legal Ham of the Face. For new viewers, we are moving from Tuesday to Thursday now. So this is pre-recorded, okay? So I won't see you in the comments, but on Thursday I will be in the comments when this goes live. So if you want to talk to me, I'll be in the comments chatting up with everybody if you want to. But the reason why we had to pre-record, Bri's going to be in Erie, PA. So we had to do something together, get it done quick. And with the premiere new 216, we got to do it now. So perfect timing. It's all right. We got plenty to talk about. So our show is brought to you by Lake Erie APA and Harold Keel. Also, City Dogs Cleveland. Can't thank them enough. They had a great year. Whole bunch of adoption. Right, I saw 3 dogs adopted that were on our show over the weekend.
Really? Yeah.
So amazing.
Awesome.
Amazing. So I do not have a new dog for us tonight, but our trivia will be brought to you by City Dogs. I'll get back in touch with Beth from City Dogs, and we'll get everything going again. We do have a fantasy, illegal, ham to the face, fantasy football champion to announce tonight. Feel bad for the runner-up. We will get into that here a little bit later. We have our Cleveland headlines. We are going to be talking about the Browns locking in the 5th seed. Bri, expectations are just through the roof right now. Didn't even know this was going to happen, and it's truly great. And then finally, we're going to get into Fat Boy Thursday with new food and new you. And finally, our top 3 Cleveland teams' New Year's resolutions. What we think that our Cleveland teams, the Cavs, the Guardians, the Browns, need to do for their New Year's resolutions. So you ready to go, Bri?
You know it.
All right. We always start our show with some shout-outs. Bri, it's been a couple weeks. Do you got any shout-outs?
Yeah. We'll start with a melancholy one and a Browns legend who recently passed away. Frank Ryan, the last quarterback to lead the Browns to a championship, bring a football championship to this city. Lived a good long life, 87 years old.
Wow.
But, you know, anytime we lose, I would consider him, I think a lot of people probably would consider him a Browns legend, even though he might not have the stats and the longevity as some of the other quarterbacks or players in the franchise history. But yeah, anytime you can win a championship, and especially since it was the last one that we saw. Well, a lot of us didn't see it, but if you're 60 and older, hopefully you saw it. You probably have to be 70 and older to really remember it. It deserves to be shouted out, and you know, he'll always have forever a special place in our heart as Clevelanders. And, you know, thoughts and prayers with his family. It's unfortunate news, but yeah, we could all only be so blessed to live a life like that. Now, I don't know a whole lot about what he's been up to the last several years, if he still lives in the area, you know, if he has family in the area, but certainly let them know if you know any of them that the Browns Nation's thinking about him. And yeah, just, it's crazy to think that it's been that long and somebody who quarterback that team of our last championship is 8-7 years old, but unfortunately that's the reality we live in.
Yeah, it's crazy, and especially being 87. I mean, that, I'm telling you what, that's a good life right there. I mean, I've known people that, you know, especially if you look in the headlines lately, you know, 52 54 61, 87, especially after playing a career of football that you did, and especially last championship, Bri. I mean, crazy.
Well, I played with the probably the one, maybe the two bar face mask, you know, and
or leather helmet back me.
I'm sure he played some of his career without a face mask and just a leather helmet. You're absolutely right. So So for him to be taking those hits and whatnot, and obviously they didn't throw as much as they do now, but yeah, you know, what a life lived. The only other shout out I got is I went and visited my brother this past weekend up in Chicago, and had an unbelievable time just kind of hanging out, spending time with them. And so he's an avid listener to the show, so I figure I got to shout him out. And, you know, it was just awesome spending time with them. We were talking, I wasn't for sure if he would come back for a Browns home playoff game, if we had one, but he assured me he would be back. So it got me dreaming a little bit. We even started talking about, like, well, you know, maybe what happens if we go to the Super Bowl? What do those plans look like? And so it was a fun conversation to have. And after that game on Thursday, we're flying high. We feel like we can beat anybody as long as we don't lose, like, you know, another five guys to injury or something like that. And we might even get a couple guys back before the playoff game. So yeah, that was pretty awesome. Just spending time with them on the high of the Browns, you know, last several game win streak. And yeah, we were having a good time.
What is it, five now? Is it four or five in a row?
It's at least four. I mean, if we can count it up, the Jets, the Texans, the Jaguars. Who else do we have in there? There's got to be somebody else that I'm forgetting. I know it's at least four. Somebody else I'm forgetting there. But if you remember, you know, we talked even when they released schedule going back to last March. Yeah, Texans. I said Texans, Jaguars, Jets. Hold on.
I got it here. Let's find it.
Feels like more than three, Bears. Right?
The Bears.
Thank you. Thank you. The Bears. Yep. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so there's four. But we talked when they released the schedule, we talked at the beginning of the year, if you can just get through that first month or 6 weeks with your head above water, the schedule lightens up at the end of the year, and you just have to handle your business. Little did we know, it lightened up a lot when the Texans don't have C.J. Stroud and the Jets don't have Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, now this week the Bengals don't have Joe Burrow. So these are games that we will be favored in, and you just have to handle your business. And thankfully, you know, we got a quarterback that is on fire, maybe the hottest quarterback in the league right now. Yes. And so we're handling our business.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with Flacco right now.
If he kept this up over an entire season, he'd be probably the MVP. Absurd. He was on his couch 6 weeks ago.
And the thing that really gets me though, Bri, is like when he throws an interception, I don't even care anymore. Like, just throw the ball. Fine. I don't care. Oh, wow. Look at that. It's interception. Don't care. Don't care anymore. You got 14 interceptions. You're leading us down the field with 300 yards passing, looking the way you do. Might as well. Is that all you got for shout outs today, brother?
That's it. Yep. Just sorry to leak into the Browns talk early, right. But yeah, that's what I got for shout outs.
For me, I just got to shout out my family. We took some time off. Brian and I thought we might be able to do a show Friday night for you guys. Obviously, that didn't happen. I didn't get in until later. So I just want to thank my family for just good times, much needed break over the holidays. Got my mom coming up this weekend. Got to shout out my dad who came in over Christmas Eve. So it's Christmas time. And also, since we really didn't do it before New Year's, we want to wish everybody a blessed New Year's, a blessed 2024. Brian and I have been fortunate for a lot of great things to happen to us. Brian getting ready to have a baby girl. Just everything that has happened to us, especially with the show and joining Network 216 and the things with Melt and the shows that we've done. We just want to thank everybody for your guys' support, watching us every week, helping us retweet, post, all that stuff, giving us content to talk about, especially in the comments. We just want to thank you guys. We appreciate you guys watching, and hopefully we keep growing the way we have been, Bri. It's been a fun ride, and keep it going as long as we can, because guess what? The Browns are going to run like this. We might as well run like it too, brother.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dare, you know, allow yourself to dream. Why not?
All right. So let's get into our show how we always do our show, Bri. Let's get into our trivia, which is brought to you by City Dogs of Cleveland. And let me hit the sounder for us right here. And like I said, our trivia is brought to you by City Dogs Cleveland. I'm going to put their ticker up down here at the bottom. Right there it is. This is a way to get a hold of them. Please go adopt a dog. We do not have a dog of the week this week. I got to get a hold of Beth. Like I said, it's kind of a crazy time that we're having right now. But it is my turn for trivia, Bri. And I got a whammy for you. We have clinched the playoffs.
Like it.
We are the five seed no matter what happens. Correct? Correct.
That's correct.
All right, so we are playing in a wild card game. Bri, what is the Cleveland Browns record in the wild card?
How far is this all time, like going back to?
All time.
Or is this just even before the NFL, before they joined the NFL?
No. This is like after, so not pre-1966, okay? This is after 1966. All right, so we have, let's just put it this way, all-time playoffs, all-time, this is including 66, they have 38 games.
Wow, okay. All-time. Probably more than I would have thought.
Okay, now that's including 1966 and before. Afterwards, okay, they have had, let's see here, 20 games.
So, okay. So 20 games since 66. Okay. I got you. All right.
Now, not all of those are wild card games, Bri.
No. Yep. Nope. I got you. Okay. I'm with you. All right. I got a guess.
All right. Like I said, go down there to City Dogs right there at the bottom. Their website is right there. Their phone number is right there. How you can meet a City Dog is down there. Please give them a call, help out, volunteer if you can. If not, donate whatever you can. They take all sorts of donations. I think they got a whole bunch of leashes from Chewy.com. Send them a whole bunch of dog leashes that they need. They need everything. Food, Kongs, snacks, treats, food. If you can help them out, please help them out. Get a hold of
donations.
Them right down there at the bottom.
Sure.
Like I said, donations, even if you just want to hand them money, walk in, hand them $50, they'll take it like you wouldn't believe. They need it for dogs that are injured, dogs that need surgeries. They need it for food. I mean, they've helped out so much. So we try to help them out because they have helped us. We love City Dogs. Both Brian and I have adoptable dogs. So please go adopt a dog. Please go help City Dogs Cleveland, near and dear to our heart. All right, Bri, let's get through this first. All right, so we do our legal ham to the face fantasy football season is over. All right, we have the belt is coming, and we have a winner, and we have a runner-up, and I feel bad for the runner-up. First off, everybody that has joined the legal ham to the face fantasy football, thank you, Joe Bear, Craig, Let's see here. Lauren's in there. Big boy, big man. Good Lord, who am I forgetting? I got a whole
bunch. Mark and Nick. And
Mark and Nick. And Justin. Justin's in there.
Justin, sure.
So we had a whole bunch. Awesome. If I'm forgetting you, I apologize. We had, what, 14 of us or 12 of us? I can't remember.
14 this year.
Okay. Brian and I have added a wrinkle in to every year now for fantasy football. Now, Big Man is going to get his championship belt. All right. Big Man, once he gets it, we will bring him on so he can show off the championship belt. But from here on out, every winner gets to choose the way we play fantasy football the next year. Brian and I talked about it. We've come up with some great gimmicks, Vampire League, Superflex, everything else. We're leaving it up to the champion to decide our next year's fantasy football league. And if you don't want to, that's fine. You can pass that privilege along. Brian and I will take care of it. But that's what you get along with the championship belt, is you get to pick next year's fantasy football league and how we play it. So, Bri, it's going to be a fun year next year. I can't wait to see what Big Man's got in store for us.
Oh, yeah. He's a fantasy football pro. So he'll have something fun for us. And he's got 9 months to figure it out before the next, well, maybe 8 months before the draft. But yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited to see what he comes up with.
It will be fun like it always was. Like I said, thank you guys again for joining the fantasy football league. I know a lot of us had some problems with people going down, and it was not pretty for some people. But, and also, Chris, I apologize for finishing second. Like, I think it's 3 years in a row you finished.
Oh, no. The Buffalo Bills of fantasy football. No way.
So, hopefully, he'll change his name to, was it Marv Levy for next year's?
Jim Kelly, sure. Perennial runner-up.
Dom Beebe. There it is. Dom Beebe. For next year's fantasy football. God, I feel so bad for him too. And when I were talking, he's like, who should I play? I'm like, I can't get into this, buddy. I feel so bad.
I had a couple guys texting me for fantasy football advice, and I'm like, man, I don't like that. I don't want to. I'm sure I'm going to give you the wrong guy. You're going to be mad at me, but I'm just giving you honest opinion on what I would do, but doesn't mean it's going to work out.
Yeah, it's crazy. So next year will be a fun year for fantasy football. Like I said, thank you for everybody that joined us, had a blast with us. I can't thank you enough. It definitely was fun, especially, you know, somebody who had like the most points ever finishing, like, I think he was 2-10 or something like that, 2-13. I
felt bad. Who's that?
Was it Nick or was it?
It might have been Mark.
It might have been Mark. But Mark had a decent team. He just kept running into buzzsaws.
That's what sucks about it, and what makes it great as well. You know, like this dude, I have 100 more points than this dude, and he's 5 spots ahead of me. How the hell does that happen, though? Just get lucky.
All right, Brian, it's time to get in our Cleveland headlines, brother.
Yep.
All right, we're not going to talk Guardians. We're not going to talk Cavs. We are going to talk Browns. And the Cleveland headlines, Browns keep winning, and they clinched the 5th seed in the NFL playoffs. They had a chance for a number 1 seed, but that kind of blew up in their face when Baltimore kind of trounced Miami. Almost had an AFC North title in our belt right there, but that did not happen. But, hey, Bri, we made the playoffs. We're locked in as the 5th seed. Right, how's it feel to be locked in? As a Browns fan, you are locked in before the final week of the NFL, and you don't have to worry about anything, Brian. You were locked in 2 weeks ago.
I don't know if it's happened in 30 years. I can't even say for sure if it happened in 94, but I remember 2002, the game against Atlanta, where the run, William, run game, where we needed that game to win. And then we needed some other help as well to make it into the playoffs. But didn't happen that year. Then a couple years ago, the 2020 year, you know, we had to beat the Steelers just to get in. So, you know, we were gripping it right until the last fourth quarter of that game and just trying to get in and scratch and claw and, you know, up until the very last seconds. So just to have a whole week, you know, I don't know how to act. You know, I've never really had dealt with this from what I can remember, to where you're just sitting comfortably. Doesn't matter what we do at all in this game. And, you know, I thought of it a little bit maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. Yeah, maybe 3 weeks ago. I don't want to give myself that much credit, but my cousin who lives down in Cincinnati, I told you, she texted me wondering if I wanted to go to this game in Cincinnati. And in the back of my head, I'm like, man, if we take care of our business, I don't know if this game's really going to mean anything. Like, do I really want to drive 4 hours? Obviously, spending time with family would be great, but going to the game, do I really want to go to a game where, you know, doesn't mean anything? The Bengals are out now, so it means nothing to them. I don't know if I do.
Hell yes, Brian. You rub it in their face. You walk down there proud with your Brian Sipe jersey, and you puff your chest out as a Browns fan, and you tell them to suck it as you're down there.
I wouldn't do that, because I've been to Cincinnati Stadium maybe 3 or 4 times. They've, even though they're in division rivals, they've always been kind of cordial to me, other than maybe 1 or 2 people like talking a little bit of trash. You know, if it's brown, flesh it down is kind of a popular saying down there. And even I think my cousin's little like 10-year-old son said it to my wife over Thanksgiving, and she was asking me about what does that mean, and I go, I've heard that plenty, so I know where he got that from. His dad told him that. But as far as, you know, I don't hate the Bengals like I hate the Ravens, like I hate the Steelers. So it just hits a little bit differently.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, I would. As much as Bengals fans have talked, they're out without Joe Burrow. They look.
That's true.
For once. And this is what's really the knife in the cake that is getting me excited, Bri, is karma's on our side for once. It's amazing. Like magically CJ Stroud's got a concussion and he can't play anymore. So we're going without a starting quarterback. Look at that. Like, it's just unreal that this is like the dominoes are just going like that. And it's like, is this the year? Like, we have people finally in the national media, Bri, going, I'd be scared of the Cleveland Browns. If I were you, you should be scared of the Browns. Finally, the national media is looking at us, Bri, and they should be scared. Our defense is playing outstanding. You got Joe Flacco throwing the ball everywhere. David Njoku has turned out to be one of the best tight ends in the NFL, Bri. He is number one yards after catch, Bri. Go figure that. Number one.
For the whole season?
For the whole season. He's number four. Number four in receptions.
Wow. Surprised by that. I know he's, I mean, you just watch the game against the Jets and he had probably 100 yards, 100 yak yards just on Thursday in the first half. And so, but he's, yes, to hear that projected over the entire year, or and not even projected, the whole stats for 17 weeks that he's number one, that's crazy.
Crazy, isn't it?
What are you were the guy who said, sick and tired of these tight end screens.
They're not even tight end screens anymore.
No, bro. I know they're not, but it's just funny that that now the tight end screens like you said, they're not screens, they're more crossers, and that's what he got, or just these 5-yard curls off that he's just catching and he's just taking that 3rd and 15 to start the game. It's just a little easy, simple route, get it in his hands, and he made a play.
It was just a dump off. He was the last person probably you looked at and just dumped it off, and he gained 30 yards on it.
Made a play.
Brian, this team is fun. I have not had this much fun watching a Browns team than I am right now. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's because the team's actually together and they're having fun together. I don't know if it's Flacco just throwing the ball wherever he wants to throw the ball. I don't know if it's the defense just have Ronnie Hickman coming. That's our third string safety getting a pick six. What? What? Yeah. This doesn't happen to us, Bri. This doesn't happen to us.
What's exciting is, you know, with all this and all the adversity and everything, it makes you think that that the culture is finally changing. And, you know, because in years past, we would have packed it in and we would have just been like, okay, well, we have a million excuses to make why we're not going to make the playoffs this year, why we're not going to compete for a championship. But this team, it's almost like they're playing loose because of all the injuries and because they know they have the excuses and they know nothing is expected of them anymore because we have Pro Bowler after Pro Bowler after Pro Bowler go down, and we have starters go down in the last 3-4 weeks and out for the year. And it's like, okay, nobody expects anything from us, so we can just go out there and we can play free. And, you know, what we've seen from Flacco, now our expectations are starting to rise again. So, you know, people are expecting, if they get bounced in the first round, which I don't want to jinx them or anything like that, but if something doesn't go their way in the first round, we're going to be pretty disappointed because right now we look like one of the best teams in the AFC, maybe second best. The Ravens just look like a powerhouse right now, but yeah, we've beat them. You know, Lamar Jackson, you know, he's not going to look like that against our defense. We have tons of experience against him, so he's not putting up 50 against us, so we don't got to worry about that. But yeah, just the looseness that Flacco's playing with, and why shouldn't he? You know, he's got nothing to lose right now. He's got the arm talent, as we've seen. His mobility is kind of surprising a lot of people. And just, you know, some of the plays he made, that play – the Ford that went like 50 yards for a touchdown where he just evaded a sack and rolled out. And I think they face masked him even, and he found him and threw it down the field, and Ford just did the rest. You know, these guys are playing loose. These guys have nothing to lose. And it's just fun to watch because they're still very talented, and the coaching staffs, the schemes, they have not changed. They have not given up on these players. You know, Jim Schwartz, Bill Callahan, what more can you say about those guys? Kevin Stefanski, it looks like a mastermind now, putting up 34 points in the first half. It's just, you know, everything's turned up green. Everything's turned up brown and orange. You know, as long as you understand it's not going to be this great forever, we aren't going to face adversity again. But God bless you. And, you know, just enjoy the ride. Like I've said in the past, just – we're going to have 8 months of just mind-numbing quarterback talk, and it's going to suck. It's going to suck about, this is my guy. I want this guy. Why can't we have that guy? It's going to suck. I'm just telling you right now. So enjoy this ride. Enjoy it.
Right. I'll tell you what, and I know I've already had the questions asked to me. You know, what happens if Flacco takes you to the Super Bowl? What happened? They're going to go back to Deshaun Watson. It doesn't matter what Flacco does this year. And I hate to tell people that. I really do. But they're going back to Deshaun Watson. You want to know why? The money, Bri. They invested so much money in Deshaun Watson that they have to see it through as an organization. They have to see it through. And
it's not, you know, it's not even like they have to. I understand what you're saying. They have to see it through. But it's a financial thing. And it's like, you don't have a choice. This is you can't just cut Deshaun Watson and pivot to Joe Flacco. There's so much dead money. There's no way you could like field a legitimate team. And
now, go ahead.
Yep, go ahead. No, you talk.
No, if we can sign Joe Flacco as a backup, more. Yeah, hell yes. Hell,
that would be nice. But if he's playing like I said earlier, he's playing like an MVP. So why would he want to sign up to be a backup?
Exactly, and that's the thing, because there's going to be teams out there looking for a quarterback, especially a bridge quarterback, and the way that he played this year, Bri, I mean, I'm surprised he's sitting on the count. Like, he came in and picked up this offense, Bri, and this offense has been night and day since he's taken over. It really has. We've had a couple of hiccup games, but other than that, like, we finally have a passing game, Bri. Like, what the hell is that? Like, we haven't had that in like 12 weeks.
Yeah. And the hope is, you know, if we can think about next year, even though I don't want to, the hope is that Deshaun sees what Flacco's doing, sees the potential in this offense, and says, okay, you know, if I can just make these reads and maybe not give up on these routes so quickly to where he's trying to bounce out of the pocket, even though that's his game. You know, he's a different quarterback than Flacco. But maybe, you know, I've always said, even though he played this year more like Lamar Jackson, I think if he could play more like Pat Mahomes, just stay in the pocket, scramble around, stay behind the line of scrimmage, eyes downfield, and then, you know, on the third and tens or the third and eights or whatever, when you have to scramble and pick up a first down, that's when you do it. But you're not looking to run 10 to 15 times a game, and, you know, because that's where he's getting it. So maybe he adjusts his game a little bit, especially with the injury. But, yeah, I'm sorry. I said I didn't want to talk about next year and everything that entitles. I'm trying to stay in the moment because right now this current team, the Browns look like they can beat anybody. So,
like, I've had people say this is like the Cardiac Kids reincarnated. Like, that's how they're playing. Like, it's crazy. Sure. Because if you look at all their games, Bri, I mean, all their games have been close. Like, we've had the first half that was kind of iffy. But then after that, Bri, I mean, we've had, let's see here, we beat the Jets 37-20, 36-22 Browns, the close one with the Bears 20-17, beat the Jags 31-27, even though that felt like it was running away before the Jags came back. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we've had this run that we've had. And the go ahead.
But, you know, we are riding this high from the Jets game and how great it was. But, you know, let's look at the team. We haven't beat a great team yet with Joe Flacco. We've beaten some pretty good teams. The Jaguars are pretty good, but they've kind of sucked the last month. You know, the Bears are pretty good. They're kind of making a surgence towards the playoffs. You know, Case Keenum and Trevor Siemian, you know, they're backup, maybe third string quarterbacks. So I don't want to take anything away from them, but and I'm sure they're professionals. Especially Flacco's seen it all. He's a veteran. He's not going to get too high. But as fans, you know, you kind of have to temper your expectations a little bit because you still haven't – I wouldn't say you've beaten a top 10 team, you know, even though some people might say that Jaguars kind of on the edge. But, you know, like I said, they've struggled quite a bit lately. But it gives you that confidence. You know, if you can keep playing with confidence, the sky's the limit. And, you know, the Bears game, some people would argue you didn't have any business winning that game. But you made a play and you came back.
And also the thing is, though, Bri, is you're beating teams that you're supposed to beat. That's where I'm kind of getting at. This is the Jets with Zach Wilson or whoever the heck was their quarterback. This is the Texans with Case Keenum. You know, these are the teams that you have to beat. A hobbled Trevor Lawrence, not the same Trevor Lawrence. So these are teams that you have to beat. This is what you're supposed to do. Normally, when we get a team like this, like the Jets, right? We get a team like the Jets. Next thing you know, it's a close game. You're going, what the hell is happening? You're supposed to beat this team. And we always lose those games, right? Now we're winning them. These are the games we're winning because we're supposed to win them.
Yep. And that's where you can be confident and you can be happy about the progress this team has made. You know, we're now winning the games that we should win. And again, I think that does a ton for your culture. I think that does a ton for the locker room and the confidence in this head coach and, frankly, the entire coaching staff where, you know, it wasn't that long ago where we were asking, is Kevin Stefanski the man? And now he's looking to hopefully maybe get his second Coach of the Year award in 4 years. And, you know, I think overtake Bill Belichick, I think, and maybe – hopefully some point next year become like the third winningest coach in Browns history, which is kind of crazy to think that he's been that good, but he has been. So enjoy the ride. It should be a lot of fun this next month.
Bri, hand to God. I was so pissed off at Ken Stefanski, play calling at everything else and how this season started last season with like just everything, Jacoby, the Baker stuff. I was so pissed at that. This man has changed me, Bri. This man right now, with the adversity that this team had, and I wrote my first article, okay? And I'll have it out here in a little bit, and it's about Coach Stefanski. This team could have gone 9 different ways. When Nick Chubb got hurt, Conklin got hurt, Watson got hurt, this team could have inverted and this could have been a shit show of a season. But then they got PJ Walker winning. What? PJ Walker won what, two games?
Essentially, yeah. He didn't start the indie game, but I give him credit for it.
But you know, you're sitting here looking at this, and this team has bought into each other. And yes, I'm not saying it's the coach or anything else. Do I still have questionable calls about the coach and his offense play call? Of course I do. Of course I do. We're always going to have that. They have that with Bill Belichick. They have that with Andy Reid sometimes. Yeah, we're going to have those problems with the, you know, play calling and the time management with that. But this team has bought into him, Bri. And I think for once, between him and Andrew Berry finding Drew or the left tackle,
Christian.
Bringing him in, piecing this team together when it's got injured, bringing Kareem Hunt in, knowing Kareem Hunt was out there, bringing all these people in, Bri, that were out there. They pieced this together where it's Cleveland versus the world is what it is right now. I mean, to see David Njoku to hop in the stands and drink a beer after that game, God, tell me you saw that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw him doing shots in the Muni lot, too.
All right, I'm making a goal for you. You got to get David Njoku on this show. We got to drink with David Njoku. If they can do it in the Muni lot, if they could do it in the stadium, then he could do it here on the Legal Hand of the Face.
I don't know how I'm going to do that when I don't have Twitter or Instagram or anything. But
we will figure it out, Bri.
Maybe I'll send him a handwritten note. I tell you that much.
You do that. Write it to the Cleveland Browns. Say we need David Njoku on our show. But no, like this team could have gone 900 different ways, and Coach Stefanski has kind of kept this team together and kept gelling around it, and they just bought in, Bri. They bought in. And I think of all people, I know that you have your coaches. You have like D'Amico Ryans should be definitely after everything that's going on there. And I know you got your 40 to Kyle Shanahan. I know you got but none of them. If you look at the stats, Bri, the Browns are the only one on fourth quarterback. Everybody else has got their same quarterback throughout the entire year. The Browns are on their fourth quarterback, Bri. Who can do that?
And I don't know the stat. I know for this year, that's the first time, maybe, I don't know if it's an NFL history or you've had four quarterbacks start a game and the team has made the playoffs. Minnesota could potentially do it. I don't know. They might have got eliminated this past weekend. But it's not only that. You've had four quarterbacks start multiple games. It's not like you just have one guy spot start here, one guy spot start there for one, and then one guy spot start there, and you have your starting quarterback for 13 weeks or something. No, it's, you know, you needed all four of these guys to get you wins. And I think DTR maybe was 0-2, but man, he showed some progress too. And that they signed this Jeff Driskel. Who knows? Maybe he'll start on a, you know, if I'm Stefanski, I just kind of needle the NFL and I start Jeff Driskel and I can tell everybody I've had five quarterbacks start a game.
I would this season. Just a rub. Yeah, why not?
Sure.
What's it going to matter? Why not?
Yeah. Right. So, you know, have we heard, is DTR done for the year? Have we heard about that injury?
Bri, I don't know. I have not kept my ear to the grindstone since I've been back, so I don't know for sure.
Everybody's just been so high on this Jets win. It's like we forget that we're still kind of dealing with some impactful injuries. And, you know, but I'm sure that'll kind of work its way out going forward to the first playoff game. But yeah, if he's out, then you got to decide if you want PJ Walker as your backup, or you want Driskel, if he can learn the offense that quickly. Like I said, during the it was before Flacco, so it was the Denver game. It's very, very clear to me that Kevin Stefanski does not trust PJ Walker. So I would not be surprised if he doesn't see the field again unless it's dire straits. But, you know, they signed Driskel, I think, on Friday or Saturday or something like that. So that kind of
told me. It was on Friday because I saw it on my Friday flight out.
Okay. So yeah, that them signing him when they did, that kind of told me that that they're going to be sitting Flacco this week, and that was even before the Ravens won. So they might have, you know, I know they haven't come out and officially said who's going to play and who's going to sit, but I think they probably made that decision even before the Ravens game because, you know, right now, if Flacco goes down, you're screwed again unless, you know, Jeff Driskel can find lightning in a bottle like Joe Flacco did. Who knows? You're right. Why not? You know, maybe.
We're the clear rounds. Why not?
So I would think maybe the intention is for him to be the backup, but hopefully we never have to see him. But, yeah, Flacco does not need to play in this game. Myles Garrett, I wrote down a list of guys. Cooper can sit, don't need to see you. Flacco and Batonio on offense, they're good. Don't need to see them. Defense, Garrett, Ward, Tomlinson. JOK, I'd say he's just so important to the defense. Even though he's young and relatively healthy, don't need to see him. And then Za'Darius Smith has kind of been dinged with a little injury here, a little injury there, and he did again with the Jets. And he's just getting older, so I don't need to see him. So those are the core guys. Like, you know, maybe you suit them up or whatever, but they don't need to play at all. And the other guys, you know, the starters, Emerson, Newsom, Teller. Maybe you let them play like a quarter or a half or something like that. But, yeah, the way it's been going this year, do not take those chances. I don't care. You don't give me this crap that they might be rusty in another week for the playoff game. I'll take a little bit of rust for a couple plays if it means I'm not going to lose this guy for a season.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, Bri. I agree with you that, like, Garrett should sit. JOK would be questionable for me because of the way he's been. Ward, I would definitely sit because you've been doing it without Ward, too, and you save him for the playoffs. Za'Darius Smith, I agree with. You got backups there. The thing that sucks, though, is your wide receivers are thin. You'd have to bring in because Elijah Moore, prayers to him. We didn't talk about that, the concussion that he had. And we know Amari's kind of banged up, but you got two of your top wide receivers out, so you're going to go with Tillman, David Bell, and then God, who else?
Austin Watkins. We've been calling for him since.
We'll see what happens.
They must have something again. You know, sometimes Stefanski just seems like he has his guys and not his guys. And like I said, with PJ Walker clearly not being one of his guys, maybe Watkins isn't one of his guys. And there was another wide receiver in the preseason that popped a little bit, wasn't there?
Can't remember his name. Yeah, but I can't remember his name offhand.
No, me either.
But I kind of – not that I don't disagree with you on Flacco. With Flacco, I'm kind of indifferent. Like, it's just – I understand what you're saying, but I can see Flacco's smart enough and he's a veteran that you could actually tell – you could tell him to play smart and, like, if it's not there, I don't care if you take the intentional grounding penalty. Do it. Like, if it's not there, don't do it. Don't get hit. Like, and that's all you got to tell him. Like, he'll understand that as a veteran. He'll get rid of the ball. He'll protect himself. That's why I'm kind of like, I kind of want to keep him in there, especially getting some of the other wide receivers that are new, getting Njoku back in it. Man, it'd be hard to sit Flacco, but I understand sitting some people. But I understand why you would sit Flacco, too. I mean, I get it, bro.
Oh, absolutely. You know, non-contact injuries are a thing.
I know.
Even if he's throwing it away after 2 seconds and nobody's even near him, you know, him just rolling out of the pocket, he plants his foot wrong. You know, I think it's supposed to be not great weather. You know, they're maybe calling for a winter snowstorm to hit Cincinnati on Saturday, I think. So, yeah, I don't think the Browns would, just knowing how important he is, knowing how important Myles Garrett is, Denzel Ward, you know, Joel Batonio, I think Cooper, those are the five guys that I think, no way, no how they shouldn't be playing in this game.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. You asked me a question earlier. You want to ask me it now?
Yep. So thinking about the teams that we know now, or if you want to project, you know, if there's a wild card team or something like that, is there anybody in the AFC who you would prefer to not play, to not go through, for whatever reason, and then just explain, you know, why you want to avoid that team.
So I told you I had two. All right.
Right.
I think we can match up with most of the AFC that's in the playoffs right now. The two teams that scare me, Bri, right now.
Right now?
If the Texans get in with C.J. Stroud, that scares me. Texans played is tough. All right. I don't know what it is, but I want to see what C.J. Stroud. That's one. Because I'm not worried about the Jags. I'm not worried about the Colts. Because those are the other teams that we might possibly play, maybe even the Bills. The other team, Baltimore, man. Baltimore putting up 50 on Miami. The way they're playing right now. And I know we have their number, Bri. I know we've beaten them, and it's going to take a superior defensive effort. Like, if we get to the Super Bowl, Bri, it is not going to be Joe Flacco. It is going to be our defense shutting people down. And I want people to realize that, because there's going to be times that Flacco can't do it. Our defense is a legit Super Bowl defense. Even with the people out that are out, our defense has been playing fantastic. All right. That's the only two teams that scare me. And it's not that I'm like super scared of the Texans. We just didn't face CJ Stroud yet, Bri. Everybody else we face. Like, I'm not worried about the Colts. We beat the Colts. Not worried about the Jags. Patrick Mahomes right now, they're in kind of like a level. But man, Baltimore is playing some really good football right now. And you don't know the CJ, the rookie quarterback effect, Bri, with CJ Stroud. You don't know.
I guess I should not have been surprised with your Ohio State love for C.J. Stroud. I'm not scared of a rookie. I'm not scared. Jim Schwartz versus a rookie quarterback? Give me a break. I ain't scared of that. Bring him on.
Oh, okay. I'm not saying not. I'm just saying out of those teams, like we've already played Jacksonville. We've already played Trevor Lawrence. We've already played the starting quarterback. We haven't played C.J. Stroud, Bri. We played every other quarterback that's in this playoff. With the exception of, like, what, Tua and Patrick Mahomes.
There you go. That is the team that worries me the most. Miami Dolphins. Miami. Mm-hmm. Do you remember how they torched us last year? Torched us. We were never even in the game. And what is this defense like to play, and what do they hang their hat on? Man to man. Can you trust? And I know their wide receivers are banged up. Tyreek Hill missed a couple weeks ago. Jalen Waddle missed this past week. But with that speed on that team, you can't play man-to-man against them. And what's another weakness on our defense right now? Juan Thornhill's banged up. Grant Delpit, maybe not play. So you got rookie undrafted safeties, and you got safeties that haven't really proven a whole lot in this league, and you're going to trust them to try to keep up with these track stars of Miami. That's the one team that I would prefer not to play, and we would have to play them in Miami. And so, well, unless Buffalo knocks them off and they become a wild card team, I guess. But most likely we'd have to play them in Miami, which means great weather for them, which means they're just flying all over the place. And yeah, I still remember some of the throws that that Tua made against us last year. He was dropping dimes all over the field. And I know it's a different defense, and I don't expect them to have that kind of a success against our defense again. And certainly with Chubb being out for the Dolphins now, that makes their defense more susceptible. So I think we can keep up with them scoring-wise. But yeah, that's the one offense that scares me probably the most. Certainly in the AFC, even though Patrick Mahomes, he's a magic man in the playoffs. But yeah, the speed of Miami defense, I don't think you can play man-to-man against them. So that would give me some worry.
I didn't think about that, Bri, and now that you brought it up, I kind of get it with the speed.
They're not healthy right now, so maybe, we might not even have to face them. Maybe they lose in the first round. But if there's some way that we can avoid them, I'd be happy about that. Even if we have to play Baltimore, I'm more comfortable playing Baltimore. We know Baltimore's offense. We know how to slow down Lamar. You just have to tackle him when you get your hands on him.
Yeah, I get it. All right, Bri. So we really got to get into one thing that we both love is college football. And kudos to your Michigan Wolverines. They beat Alabama in overtime. Your Tennessee Volunteers won. And my Ohio State Buckeyes looked like complete dog shit. We got Michigan versus Washington. Michael Penix Jr., who is – Brian, did you know he beat Michigan?
I did know. Yeah, he was good at – He was good at Indiana, if you remember. I mean, I don't know. He had no weapons, I don't think he ever beat Ohio State. But yeah, you remember those games against Ohio State where it's like, this quarterback's got something. And then for whatever reason, it just didn't work. I think he should have won the Heisman. I think he was the best quarterback in college football.
Hey, he was right there, bud. Like, and the thing, what's really impressing me right now, they're still in this Caleb Williams train, him being the number one overall, you know, pick. And I'm just sitting going like, guys, Michael Penix isn't bad. Like, seeing some of his throws against Texas, boy can drop some dimes. Like, I'm not lying.
People have been disrespecting Washington all year long. And I think it's great for college football because it actually worked out to where the two undefeated teams are playing each other. Yes. So I think that's great. That's what everyone should want, even though, you know, Florida State.
We won't talk about Florida State right now.
Yeah, they had all the guys opt out, so obviously that was the reason for that one. But Georgia put it on them. And who knows, Georgia may still be the most talented team in college football. But you have the two teams, the two most deserving teams that are undefeated playing each other. So as a college football fan, hopefully, you know, it's going to be hard for Ohio State fans to feel good about that. But the system worked. And, I think it should be a great game. You got one of probably the best defense in the country going against the best quarterback in the country. So, you know, I know they're not, you know, Michigan is a big name, but Wisconsin is not a huge name. And it's not Alabama and Georgia or anything.
You mean
like
Washington.
That, or Washington, what'd I say?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. I was close, right?
You're right.
It's out that way.
Yeah. West of us.
Yeah, like. Yeah, it should be a great game. And, you know, probably nobody wants to hear me go into the Michigan roster and, you know, how that game came to them. That, dude, can we talk about that punt at the end of the game? Are you kidding me? All you have to do is field a punt or just let it go. You don't even have to field it. Just let it go. And it felt like just epic, epic way to lose a game. Like only the way the Browns can lose a game, you know, that we've seen so many times.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
How can you, all you have to do is, you know, or miss a field goal, you know, like we've done a couple times this year. You miss an extra point and it's like, okay. How do you freaking miss an extra point? It's pretty much a gimme. And the Browns do it, and thankfully they won one of those games. But yeah, what are you? Nobody wants to hear me talk about Michigan. What are your thoughts on Ohio State?
Oh no! So we're going to talk about Michigan a little bit longer.
Okay. Yeah.
You did get a new beer, right?
Yeah. No, I'm good.
Okay. Good to go. So Massage Boy, you know Massage Boy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Justin.
Too bad I haven't heard about him.
Justin was all on that blue train, that blue and maize train. He was rooting for Michigan.
Really? I didn't know that about him.
Like, I didn't, you know, something for me, but it's not like normally I kind of root for the Big Ten. And now it's just to the point where I don't even care if the Big Ten, it doesn't matter to me. And especially, and especially with Michigan and Alabama, like for me, honestly, if, let's just say everybody got injured, I wouldn't have gave two shits. Like it wouldn't have bothered me one bit. Like I honestly, I watched maybe 5 minutes of that game, Bri. 5 minutes.
Sure. Yeah, I understand. Okay.
Did I watch Washington, Texas? No, I didn't even watch that. You want to know why? Because my team really sucks. I couldn't even watch. Bri, you and I were texting during the Ohio State game, and it was like I couldn't believe it. Three. Brian, I'm going to try to keep it PG for our show, for Network 216 and everything. Three GD points. Three of them. And I understand Marvin Harrison was out. I understand that Kyle McCord's in Syracuse of all fucking places, Syracuse.
PG.
Oh, well, that's went out the window now.
I can't
believe it. I can't believe we only scored 3 points against Missouri. And I'm not saying, like I talked to you earlier, I'm not saying Missouri's not a good team. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying the talent on Ohio State should be better than Missouri. The talent alone should beat Missouri. You are there to beat Alabama. You are there to beat Michigan. You're there to beat the elites of the elites. and you lost to Missouri, Brian. Like, that's a kick in the dick as an Ohio State fan.
I told you, I think Ohio State fans for sure, and probably even leaked into the players a little bit. They thought, what was it, the Cotton Bowl? Is that what they played in?
It wasn't a New Year's Day Bowl, which kind of confused me a little bit.
Right.
Because, I mean, they had – all right, so Wisconsin played LSU. All right, and that was one of the night – or one of the games beforehand on
– Oregon Liberty was another one.
And Oregon and Liberty. You figured that, you know, the number 8 versus the number 9 would get a New Year's Day game, right?
Yeah, that's weird. You know, Georgia, Florida State wasn't a New Year's Day. I think they're trying to spread it out a little bit. It was primetime viewing on a Friday night, though.
Well, I mean, okay. How about this? Let's be honest. The bowl season is dead. They shouldn't even do
dead.
It anymore.
It's been I dead. Know it's been dead. It's been dead for years.
My dad brought
especially this up with me.
Go ahead.
Well, especially with kids opting out now, you know, it was a big deal. It was a big story when Christian McCaffrey opted out like 5 years ago. That was a big story. I think he was one of the first to do it, or maybe Leonard Fournette or something like that. But now anybody who thinks they have a future, and I can't blame them.
No, can't blame them.
If you're Marvin Harrison Jr., do you really want to play in that game, blow your knee out, and now you're out for your entire rookie year? Yeah, hell no. For a game that doesn't mean anything, but – what it does mean, it means something for Ryan Day. And, you know, it came out today that one of the offensive linemen said on a podcast they only practiced 6 times between the Michigan game and this. That's a terrible look. I understand if the starters, the NFL pro prospects are uninterested, but for the coach to be uninterested like that, like, and you got your nose shoved in it on national TV in prime time. And so what else does he have to do? I understand he has to recruit, but what else do you have to do other than you have a whole month to get your team prepared to play a game and you have 6 practices? That's terrible.
And it's not like you didn't – I understand the quarterback wasn't there, but you still had Travion Henderson. You still had Cade Stover play. You still had Emmanuel Buka play. You still had these 5-star wide receivers that you've been recruiting for 4 freaking years play. And you still only scored 3 damn points. Like, what are you doing? Brian, what are you doing? And you know something? We're going to talk about the opt-out too now because you got me started on the opt-out. I don't care if you opt out. That's on you. But how can you look as a teammate? You're looking at that guy opt out, knowing that he was in every game to see if you guys made a national championship. Guaranteed, if they made a national championship, Marvin Harrison would have been playing, correct?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, of course.
But since it's not the championship game, they're opting out. As a teammate, now this is me personally, I'll be looking at them like, bro, I understand what you're doing, but you're sitting there going like this. I understand you got your future, but you play with me 10 games, and now you're just saying, screw you. I'm done with you. Get the hell out of here. Like, it was okay for the 10 games that we played beforehand, but now it's not good enough for you. Come on, man.
That's where it separates from the team to me. It's a personal decision. They've made that decision, and I understand it, obviously, for sure, with these games. Now, next year, there are going to be a lot more games, 12 teams, where their bowl game means something. So you're going to see the best of the best play each other. But, I'm sure let me know, how do you feel about Ryan Day? Do you want him back for another year? Do you want him fired? I think they're bringing him back, but I'm curious what you say.
My dad said it perfect. And when it comes to the big games, Ryan Day is coaching not to lose.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to flip this around and coach to win. All right. He needs to stop being conservative. And my dad even brought it up. What day and age? We're in the pros now. 4th and 2, you're going for it. 4th and 1, you're going for it. What is that saying to your team on 4th and 1 when you have the talent that Ohio State has and you send out the punter? Like, if you're past the 50-yard line, 4th and 1, let's go for it. Let's sneak it. Let's run the power. They never did that, Bri, especially the Michigan game. Like, he coached the Michigan game scared. and not playing to win. And I've never seen, it's been a while since I've seen it. I'm not saying Cooper was that way, but Tressel was never that way. Urban Meyer definitely was never that way. I mean, how many times do you see Urban Meyer pulling his hair on the sidelines because they got a fourth and two and they didn't make it, but he tried to get that fourth and two. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not even trying it. He is sitting back looking at all these five stars that he's recruiting and expecting them to be the five stars on the field, especially certain games. And it's not, you got to coach these kids and you got to coach these kids to win. And I feel like he is not coaching these kids to win.
Well, look at Harbaugh last night. On his own 30, fourth down, three timeouts, 3 minutes left. He went for it because he didn't want to give the ball back to Alabama and exactly. Say, maybe I never get to see the ball again and we lose this game. He said, well, this is it. It's time to put up or shut up time. And they went for it and paid off for them and they ended up winning the game. And so, yeah, sometimes you have to make those tough decisions. But to me, with Ryan Day, It's a developmental thing. It's what I saw with Brady Hoke and with Rich Rod in Michigan. You're not developing these players. Ohio State has top three recruiting class every single year, so they should be a top three team every single year.
If you look at their recruits, though, Bri, their recruits are wide receivers, yeah. Running backs, quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks. It's not the offensive line. It's not the defensive line that you're used to recruiting. It's not the linebacker, the star linebacker they get. It's not the five-star cornerbacks they get anymore. They're not getting those. They're getting all these. You know, I told my dad, and this is how I explained it. They have a Ferrari, Bri. They have a speed team. They have a Ferrari. Guess what? Kind of hard to drive the Ferrari if you don't know how to drive stick. They don't have a clutch. They don't have the offensive line like they used to have. They don't have the defensive line like they used to have. How many times have you always seen Ohio State with a five-star defensive lineman or a five-star offensive tackle? Like, that's what they would always start with. Like, Dwan Jones, key point right there. You had Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, Chase Young, five stars. You knew them coming in. Can I tell you the defensive lineman right now? Hell no, I can't.
I can. You know, Ohio State, for 3 years in a row, they got the number one recruit in the whole country. They got, do you know who those three guys were? Quinn Ewers was one. That's probably the only guy that most people have ever heard of. And then obviously he transferred out. The other guy was Julian Fleming. Is that his first name? Julian?
Wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's like the third best receiver on the team or fourth best. Mm-hmm. He was the number one recruit in the entire country. Mm-hmm. And Jack Sawyer, number one recruit in the entire country. He's your defensive lineman that you're clamoring for. He was that coming out of high school. They didn't develop him.
Yeah, but if you look at this game, wasn't he the one screwing up everything for Missouri?
That's what I'm saying. He's not being developed. He's not being coached right.
My dad, I think, might be right. I think it's more assistant coaches than head coach. You don't have the assistant coaches in place to produce, to, you know, get these guys to grow. And I'm not saying it's not Brian Hartline, because the wide receivers have been fantastic as they come through. But you also got to develop a quarterback. You also got to develop running backs. You also got to develop an offensive line. And I don't think it's there for Ohio State. I don't think they have the guys to do it, Bri.
I was trying to think of, like, guys Ohio State fans would get excited about for next year. Like, Aaron Nolan. I've heard of Aaron Nolan's name a ton. You're going to put the entire pressure of this giant, college football program on an 18-year-old's shoulders and just pray that he's good?
It's between Devin Brown and Aaron Nolan, buddy.
Oh, Aaron Nolan's going to be at Devin Brown's. I mean, do you think Devin Brown's going to be anything special? Where's 33?
They already told Devin Brown that he is getting a chance to start. He's going to fight for the starting job, and we'll see what happens. But what really shocks me is they're not hitting the transfer portal and going after one of the big-name quarterbacks. They're
the one guy?
They're sitting tight and not doing a goddamn thing.
The one guy that they were linked to, Cam Ward, he's going in the NFL now.
Exactly.
And then there's an, I heard there's another guy they're linked to now. The hell if I know his name. He goes to Kansas State. But if you're hoping you get so your whole season kind of rides next year on a transfer from Kansas State and an 18-year-old kid. I'm telling as a Michigan fan, I love it because Michigan's never been higher and Ohio State hasn't been lower since the Cooper years. Like, I never recall Ohio State fans. Never once do I think they said fire Jim Tressel. Never once do I remember them saying fire Urban Meyer.
Well, we questioned Jim Tressel a couple of times, especially in the championship games against Florida and LSU. There were some questions there. But it was also Tressel got us there. So you can't really bitch because you got there. I mean, with Urban Meyer took over a suspended team and went 12-0, Bri, with Braxton Miller as a quarterback.
Sure.
I mean, the only weird year we had was the Fickle year, and that was the 6-6 year or whatever that was with Fickle as the head coach before Urban Meyer. So we had, like, it's not like we don't have to run. It's not like we're not a good team. It's just the situations and the stupid shit we do, especially as a coaching staff and as a team, that, you know, how do you not get up to play Michigan? That's the one thing I don't understand.
I told you they got up this year. Michigan was a better team this year. I was surprised it was so close. But
well, Michigan is a better team in the trenches. Let me give you that. I'll give you Michigan is a better team in the trenches.
Well, see, you're falling victim to what Ohio State is. We got these receivers, so they're better. No. 22 years, the team that runs the ball for more yards wins the game. So if you want to win that game, you better win the trench battle.
Exactly.
Plain and simple. It doesn't matter. You can have Olave. You could have Garrett Wilson. You got C.J. Stroud back there throwing the ball around. It doesn't matter. You know, that's why I told you they need a scrambling quarterback. If they want to beat Michigan, they need a scrambling quarterback. Milroe almost did it last night. This Aaron Nolan, I think, is supposed to be a scrambling quarterback. You need a running back there.
It's not even a scrambling quarterback. It's just a quarterback that gives you a chance to run, Bri.
That's when they were at their best.
C.J. Stroud never scrambled. He really didn't.
I know. He never beat Michigan.
You mother.
Right.
That's it. Right. Show's over.
Who beat Michigan? Terrell Pryor did. Ram for a bunch. Justin Fields did. Ram picking up 30 yards on 3rd and 13 or something like that. And it's just backbreakers. But if you're going to sit in the pocket.
J.T. Like, Barrett did, and he never really ran.
Look at the game last night. Milroe got sacked a ton because he sat in the pocket in the first half. He finally started running in the second half, and he started having success. So if you want to beat Michigan, you need a running back, a quarterback who can throw it a little bit. But I worry – so Ohio State's going to get a little bit of a break because there's no doubt Harbaugh's going to the NFL now. And I pray – Michigan doesn't make the same mistake that Ohio State made and just promote from within. This guy was head coach for an interim time for 3 games, and he looked pretty good. Let's just make him the full-time head coach because that's what Ohio State did with Ryan Day. That's what it sounds like Michigan's going to do with this Sherrone Moore, which nothing personally against him, but if you're going to be in the national championship game, you should be able to get pretty much whoever you want, with the exceptions of, like, you know, the Sabins and the you know, obviously Ryan Day and Kirby Smart and the big name. But other than that, everybody else is in play. Open it up to a nationwide search because you got to keep this train rolling. You can't just give it to a guy who's never been a full-time head coach. He is very conservative in his game plans against Penn State and Ohio State. Very conservative. Get the lead and sit on the ball, basically. But the Big Ten's going to change next year. It's no longer going to be, you know, for this whole year, last year, probably the year before that, you had 2 games you had to win as Michigan, Ohio State. You have to win against your rival, Michigan, Ohio State. There's 1 game, and you have to beat Penn State. You basically have 2 tough games every year. Ohio State played Notre Dame this year. Michigan plays Texas next year. Damn. But USC is going to start stealing wins from you. Oregon's going to start stealing wins from you. Who knows what this does for Washington program. Chip Kelly is still at UCLA, so they're going to surprise some teams. So it's going to get a lot more difficult in the Big Ten as Michigan and Ohio State. You're going to be losing one, two, maybe three games a year. You'll still make the playoffs, but yeah, start getting used to the new normal.
Ugh. All right, so we are going to kind of skip Fat Boy Thursday. I know it's our new Fat Boy Thursday everything. Brian and I both got to get up early in the morning. We're already an hour and 10 minutes into this. We're going to do new food and new you. Maybe quickly, Brian, do you have like a new food that you want to try this year? And I know you're very picky. I know you're
It's every year. It's every year with the kale. Trying to be healthy and put it into smoothies and stuff like that. Kale and spinach and stuff like that. I had a blend just last year, and it took a crap on me probably 6 weeks into using it. So, yeah, I had just fruits, vegetables, basically it.
You know, you can kind of just mix in the kale in your salad, right? And just eat it like
that. Yeah, I can, and I have, but yeah. Chop it real small to do that, so I don't really even notice it. Just something about the texture of kale is just kind of rubbery.
Really?
Nah, I'm not a big fan. I'll do it. It's not a huge deal, but yeah. But yeah. They sell you these giant bags for like $3 and
you
go through like a quarter of it. It's like, well, you gotta throw it out now.
Oh, dude, I mix that in. I cook it up almost like I do spinach. Do some like vegetable oil, some vinaigrette, and cook it up kind of like that to get that rubberiness out of it. You can eat it like that, you know, just kind of like a wilted salad, like you normally get like spinach with like Italian dressing on it, stuff like that. Try it that way. You might like it.
All right. I'll give it a try.
For me, new food, I eat anything as it is, but, you know, I'm trying to start eat healthy too, because obviously fatty, I got to bring it back down for my kids. So I'm kind of giving up all the grains and like the breads and stuff. So I'm trying to just do meats and vegetables. So that's kind of what I got going on right now, Bri, which is kind of nice because I still get to eat all the meat I want to eat. And I get vegetables that I like, but I kind of cut out the bread. So I'm cutting out a little white bread, cutting out like the sugar. I don't drink that many sugar drinks to begin with. Mm-hmm. Just cutting out that kind of stuff. So that's kind of what I got going on this year. And you know how we always like salads at work. Like today we had chili without beans in it. So, you know, I had one bowl of chili, jalapenos, that kind of stuff. But like, I'm trying not to get like the very high concentrated, like the pastas, all that kind of stuff. I'm trying to kind of curb that back a little bit.
I forgot. Do you guys get lunch every single day?
Oh yeah, we do.
Oh, that would be tough. Oh,
By the way, Tom's last day, which was the 22nd.
Oh, shoot. I forgot about Tom's last day.
We have filet mignon. With mashed potatoes.
Nice. Good for him. He deserves it.
It was great. Like, they've been hooking us up. Now, they make some other ones that are kind of questionable. Like, there's days we'll have breakfast, which is nice because you get, like, scrambled eggs. You get, like, some French toast and bacon and sausage and all that stuff. Yep. And then they get we get the day of the pasta, whatever, where they just kind of threw some stuff in and made a pasta out of it.
Right.
And then there's the day where we get fried chicken. That is like the over fried chicken. But once you take like the skin off, you're kind of good. And then we get the days where you just kind of look at it and go, what the hell is this? And then you try it. Well, we had like, it was like a turkey pot pie we had. And they put it over top mashed potatoes, which was fantastic. But I mean, some points, and plus we got Rick cooking on Monday and Tuesdays. God bless that man. God bless that man.
It's good cook.
I mean, we had technically Skyline chili. So he gave the spaghetti noodles with the chili. You had the jalapenos. He even got tortilla chips there to kind of scoop in the chili, the cheese, sour cream, loaded up that way. Fantastic. Except he does Texas style chili, Brian. Which is like all meat, you know, all meat and tomatoes. And then I like the other chili where you get like the kidney beans and kind of everything else in it.
Yeah, not a huge bean guy.
Yeah, of course
you're a few I can take.
I'll tell you what.
Giant honkers. Nope. Not for me.
I'll tell you what, Butch's beans you would eat.
Oh yeah. Oh, baked beans. All day I'll smash them.
All right. Well, that was our Fat Boy Thursday. That was definitely a quick Fat Boy Thursday, right?
Turn from vegetables into meat and beans in a hurry.
All right, well, let's get in. And I got to get the sounder for Fat Boy Thursday. Like I said, it's a work in progress, so give me time. I'll take care of it. But we do have this one. In our top three today, Bri, I brought up, let's do New Year's resolutions, and let's do it for each Cleveland team. Cavs, Guardians, and Browns. And would you like to go first, or would you like me to go first on this top three?
I'll go first. I'll get it out of the way here. So I got one. You said one for each team. Is that correct?
One for each team. The top one for each team for you.
Okay. All right. So since we've been talking a lot of Browns, I'll start with them. And for the entire year, you know, this year obviously would be great, but we seem to be humming at an incredible pace. So I'm looking to next year with this one. Basically, it's just to make the offense look like this with Deshaun Watson. Kind of sputtered. Obviously, it's had its issues, and it's probably going to look completely different with Deshaun, the way he plays. Also with Nick Chubb, you're going to make a point to get him the ball a lot more than you do Jerome Ford, even though Jerome Ford had some great runs against the Jets. I was surprised to see his stat line the way it was because it didn't look too impressive, but he had three or four, maybe five really nice, impressive runs. But yeah, just continue this offensive success with Deshaun Watson next year. Find a way to do it however you got to. I feel like we were on the track this year, and then he got hurt. But so that's the one with the Browns. The Cavs, you got to find a way to salvage the Donovan Mitchell trade, be it sign him to a long-term deal, or if you're not going to sign him, move on from him. I'm fine. I don't need this year. You got to, if he's not going to sign, you give him an ultimatum in February before the trade deadline. Either you sign this now or we're trading you. And so if he doesn't sign it, find some value for him. And then my number three for the Guardians would be that number one pick. Just get it right. Find a way to get it right. I think we've proven over time that we can develop pitchers. So the thing this team really lacks is the power hitting. So find a power hitting bat. Even if you've got a guy who can hit for average, who hits maybe 20, 25 home runs, I'd be fine with that. But yeah, you got to get a star everyday player to build this franchise around for the city to get excited about.
For me, for the Browns, number one, health. We need to get healthy. No more injuries, Bri. No more catastrophic injuries for the Browns. No more right tackles out for the year. No more running backs out for the year. Just if there are a couple games, that's fine. Just don't make a season-ending injuries like the Browns have had this year, part of last year. We can't go through that. All right. Just get healthy, Browns. That's my New Year's resolution for you. Number two, the Cavs. I'm kind of with you on the Donovan Mitchell, but to be honest, Bri, I'm kind of over the Donovan Mitchell. I don't think I understand why the trade happened. I'm not saying that he's not a great player. He is. I just don't think it's the right fit for the Cavs. I might be wrong. I might be in the minority. But I just think moving on from Donovan Mitchell right now would probably be the best thing for the Cavs to do, to recoup some of the stuff they gave up for Donovan Mitchell and see what they can get. That's kind of where I'm at. But I'm not saying they're not winning. I'm not saying he's not playing great, because he is. It's just, to me, it's a weird dynamic. Like, you have a great player on your team, but your team, when he is on it, goes away. It's not a team. And it seems like when we win, it's a team mentality instead of somebody taking it from the key and kind of doing what he does. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And for the Guardians, Bri, I am 100% with you. We draft, you know, pitchers and just turnover pitchers like crazy. That number one overall pick, go get me a power bat. I don't care if he strikes out 400 times. If he hits 35 home runs, we haven't seen it. We haven't seen it in like 10 years for
a while.
Nope. Guardians. Like, yes, Jose is great. Jose gets you 25 home runs. We need a guy in the lineup that can get you at least 40 home runs. At least, or close to it, between 30 and 40 home runs to scare the life into other teams. And guess what? You got to get that with the number one pick. I don't need a stub pitcher. I don't need anything else. You've been known to develop pitchers. I don't need a middle infielder. I don't need another shortstop, a second baseman. I need either a first baseman, a right fielder, a left fielder, or dare I say a backup third baseman that can crush the damn ball. Like, I'm just tired of it, Bri.
Mm-hmm.
It's all it is.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at with our top three, Bri. Let's finish up our trivia. I asked you a question, and it was, what is the Browns' record in the wild card division? Wild card round.
I was going to go lower, but thinking back to 2020 with that win, I'm saying 4-5.
Oh, you're close.
Okay.
2-3 in the wild card round.
2-3.
2-3.
So they've only won one other wild card game other than 2020?
Other than the Pittsburgh Steelers. Can you name me the team that they won against?
Well, it's got to be in the 80s. They must have had a lot of first-round buys in the 80s, I guess. No?
1995.
Oh, 94. Oh, yeah, I was at that game against the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Bill Parcells. Yeah, that's right.
They have lost to Pittsburgh Steelers 2002. They have lost to the Houston Oilers 1988. Uh-huh. And they have lost to, the Los Angeles Raiders 1982.
Wow. So, yeah, so all those runs in the 80s, I guess they had the first round bye. Can't remember. Maybe two teams. Maybe two teams got a bye back then. Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, this is the first time that we finished with a record ahead of the Steelers since 88, is it? Mm-hmm. The last time we had a better record than the Steelers? Mm-hmm. That's freaking unbelievable. It's
crazy, right? So right now, the wild card round, you have 5 games, you're 2-3. You had 15 games in the division, 7-8.
Okay.
Conference championship, you have 5 games. You're 0-5 in the conference championships. And pre-1966, this is the best stat. Pre-1966, 13 games in the playoffs. You're 8-5.
Wow. Yep. Powerhouse back then.
So right now, all-time playoff record for the Cleveland Browns is 38 games. You're 17-21 all-time in the playoffs, including 1966 and before.
About right.
Pretty good stat, though, right?
No, very good. Yeah, a lot of different tentacles to that one. That was good.
One hell of a trivia question, bro. I come up with some every now and then. I come
up with some good ones. A lot of research into that often. One. Nice. Surprising stuff, though. Like I said, about the 80s. They didn't win a wild card round other than, what did you say, 82? Well, not at all. They lost in 82, huh? Mm-mm.
They lost in 82 and they lost in 88.
Wow.
And that was Houston Oilers, not Houston Texans. Houston Oilers.
Oh, I remember.
That was probably Warren Moon, wasn't it?
No, that was pre-Warren Moon, I would think.
88?
Oh, 88? Oh, yeah. Yeah, probably Warren Moon. That 82, Warren Moon, yeah, I think it was before.
That might have been. That was the Raiders in 82.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, that definitely, yeah. But we want to thank everybody for watching the show tonight. Please, we're on Network 216 now. Please go like, subscribe, all that stuff for Network 216. We always give away a Victory Monday t-shirt if the Browns win from Homage. Please go on Twitter and check that out. You get a chance to win a Victory Monday t-shirt from Homage. Network 216 is sponsored by Homage. Here before long, Bri and I are going to get some t-shirts. So we'll be, can't go wrong with it. It's Columbus-based, by the way. Did you not know that?
I did know that, even though they do sell Michigan stuff there.
I can't do it. I can't.
I have a couple Homage shirts. I was about to get ready to order another one. Their orange shirts are really, really nice. The orange brown shirts.
Yeah, they give away. So on Network 216, they give away the actual Victory Monday T-shirt, the one with the United States with the Browns logo on it. It says Victory Monday.
Yeah, I got that. Oh, so, it says Victory Monday on it.
Mm-hmm. So that's the that's what they give away every Victory Monday. They give that away. So join us. Like I said, like, subscribe, catch us on Network 216, catch us on all of our Legal Hand to the Face pages. That's not changing. We just move times, Bri. Move dates, same time. We're on Thursdays now. Yep. So we want to thank our troops, first responders, for everything you guys do. We want to bless everybody for a happy new year. Bri, end of the show. Yep. God bless them.
God bless you. God bless America.
I am that fat guy. Thank you guys for watching us here on the Legal Hand to the Face, our premiere for Network 216. We're definitely uncorked, unloaded. We're out. Say it.
Go Blue.